Well, today is Trinity Sunday. And guess what else is today? Judith knows. What is today? Huh? Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York. Did you know that? I can't make it. But guess what? There's also a Puerto Rican Taste of the Puerto Rico Denver Festival here in the city. Yeah, in the Civic Park downtown. So you're invited if you want to have a little bit of Puerto Rican flavor, some salsa and some music. And you may ask, what in the world does that have to do with anything? And really nothing. I just want to let you know. I thought it was an interesting fact. But maybe it's not. I don't know. But again, it's going to be in the Civic Center all the way to 7 p.m., all right? So you can have some of the taste of the Puerto Rican food and stuff out there. Okay, so what is the relationship with Genesis and what we celebrate today, Trinity Sunday? Well, everything. In the early church, there was this teaching that was considered a heresy, which thought of Jesus as a creation of God, as he was begotten by the Father, and you know that from John 3:16, right? Well, that teaching made Jesus basically secondary to God. He was an equal to God. He wasn't God. And since there's been a lot of teaching back then and still going on even today, and usually that is taken out of context, because you do know that John himself in verse 1 says that Jesus was there in the beginning. Remember? It was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You remember that, right? So I think it's important that we, again, put this in context and that we reframe it correctly so that we don't get confused. And Genesis, again, alludes to that thing we call the Godhead, right? That multiple persons, beings that are part of God in the beginning. So we go back to Genesis and we dig into the scriptures, the ones that Jesus himself read, right? The ones that he taught. And we're going to stay in Genesis for a few weeks here in the summer. Now, the main point that we need to realize is that God cannot be explained. Hello? Tell you the truth, this is way beyond me. Right? I've tried. I haven't tried all that much. But God is not necessarily that being that is supposed to be explained so that we understand. But God is to be experienced. That we can really relate to. That is something that we actually can do. We can experience God. We experience God every day. When we even look at creation, right? All the things that have been part of our lives, the things that we see, the things that we feel, the ones that we can smell, it is all part of God's doing. And you know that all the exercise of theology has been defined, even in the past, as faith that is seeking understanding. Anselm, in the 1200s, somewhere around there. He's the one that came up with that. That theology is faith seeking understanding. It is not understanding seeking faith. You know the difference, right? You see, if we try to understand before we have faith, we're helpless. We don't have enough engine, right, up here. There's not enough horsepower for us to understand this great being that we call God. But faith comes first. When we have faith, then we seek to understand. And God reveals to us Himself and how to put everything around us in the right context. So, even all the attempts that we make to explain the witness of the writers of Scripture sometimes falls short. Because, again, their experience was firsthand. Now, our mission is not necessarily to explain God to people, although there is definitely a place for that. Our mission is to do God's mission, right? Yes. And now God's mission is part of what we experience as a church. We are a conduit for God's mission. In other words, the church exists in God's mission to spread the experience that we have with Scripture. Not just to explain the text, but to explain the experience that we have with Scripture. I hope that you see that there is a distinction there. I hope that you can see that it's not just about the words, but it's about the God. Hello? Yeah? Okay, I hope you're with me. Now, through that creation story, we have an affirmation that God has been and that God is with us, right? God has been and God is with us. God has created the world. But people have made it something else. And mostly is something to dispel as a teaching or as part of the culture. It's always a target. In other words, Scripture is the target of society. And I don't know if you know about this, but since 1860, somewhere around, somebody tell me about this guy called Darwin. So, you know him? Right? Charles? It was 1860s, 70s, somewhere around, maybe 1890s. He wrote this book, right? It's now is what? The Origin of the Species. And that started the ball rolling. It started the ball rolling in a way that now it seems like Scripture is not what it used to be. It's not where everybody stands. Scripture is mostly now a target to dispute, to bring down. You see, that's about that fight called the creation versus evolution battle. And even though it's not explicit anymore, even schools, there's still that battle going on. And I would, if you have internet at home, I would like for you to look and seek for a place called evolutionversusgod.com. That's what it's called. evolutionvsgod.com. Just look at that. It is one of those movies that will catch your attention. Anyway, I'll promote it that way. Hopefully we'll get to see it in some of our Sunday class sometime in the future. But somehow I feel like we have to sort of rescue that creation story for what it is. You see, that creation text is shaped in a way that we may not necessarily identify immediately, but it resembles the form of litany. You know what litany is? Anybody? Oh, okay, teaching moment. Litany is that prose that is used for worship, right? A hymn, alternate readings. That is the litany of the church. So when you read from the first verse, like I said, my secretary wasn't up to it. But when you read, you will see some repetitions in the text. Anybody remember that? When it says, and there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. Right? And then you hear again, and there was evening, and there was morning on the second day. And there was evening, and there was morning on the third day, and so on. So when you hear that, it makes you think of something that is being repeated, right? It's being repeated for a reason. It's being repeated because it was probably used to be said, read out loud in the congregation. Maybe it was sang. There's another repetition that we see there. And it says, and God saw that it was good. Right? And you can tell, I mean, it's right there, right? It's right there in the text. And God saw that it was good. And all these things culminate in the creation of humanity, right? And after God contemplates all that was created, he saw that it was very, very good. So you see, there is an intent in Scripture for us. And I'm not going to get into that discussion of whether the world was created in 7 days. Actually, it was six, right? Or in 30 million years. All right? And still, the battle is still going on. To me, that's not the point. The point is that God was involved. And if you will consider these ancient scriptures as something that was given to us by the Jewish people, and you think of their history as we know it, you can tell that the Jewish people were in the middle of a place that nobody really cared about them, nor did they believe in only one God. All their neighbors believed in many gods. They had many histories or stories of how the world came to be. And the Jewish people had to stand and say, this is how we understand the Creator. And they have to lift something up for them. The good. The good. And God saw that it was good. You see, and that's how they experienced God. And that's how they came to us. And I guess their mission was to state over and over again to witness to their experience and understanding of who this God was. That was their mission. And guess what? We have received that today. It's still with us, right? The words are here. And we're faced with them. And we have to read them and say, okay, what is this? Who is this God? So probably this text was used as a witness. And I don't know if you remember, but a couple of times is mentioned in Scripture that light is good. Right? And of course, light is juxtaposed against what? Darkness. God is light. Thus, that means that God is good. Now, we've said that many times, right, in church. God is good. Come on. All the time and all the time. God is good. You see, we even are receivers, right, of that same witness. Now, God is good all the time. And it is a witness. It's how they related to God. How they're related to not only a God, but a God that created the world and a God that is good. In other words, it is a relational revelation. Scripture is about relationship. It starts with that. A relationship between Creator and creation. Right? I hope you're with me. We're going to finish in 5 more minutes. Right? It is possible, actually, to do a teaching in Genesis in 10 minutes, guys. and it is possible for a Puerto Rican to do that. Now notice, as the Godhead creates humanity, they do it in what? Their image. Right? And we might think that if God created us in His image, that means that God has to be a little fat. Right? He must have a big belly. And maybe even, you know, a little bit of gray. I'm sorry, you know, that's just, I just wanted you to get to think a little bit about that. But, I mean, when you think about an image, we immediately go to a picture, right? Because in this digital age, it's easy for us. But the relational aspect of God is emphasized. But not only in appearance. And think about it for a second. The text says that they said to themselves, "Let's make humans in our image and likeness." Our. Right? So is the Trinity there? Is it God in three persons represented in that hour? Maybe. I mean, we go there immediately, right? we have that understanding that Jesus is God. And perhaps that is more real than we think. But there's many people that argue and they differ with that idea. You know, they say that the we is the heavenly court. You've heard that sometimes, right?
Yeah.
It's like the heavenly court out there. And that, of course, brings ideas of royalty, right? If there's a court, there must be a king somewhere. Or there's many other variations of God represented in that us or our. In any case, I tell you, still a mystery. It's still a mystery, and we're left just to wonder and to reflect upon that. What does he mean by image? Now, image is interesting. Again, if image means me, then he must look like me, right? And that's, of course, not, because I don't think that God looks like me. Although I believe that God is Puerto Rican. He must be. He likes rice and beans. Did you know that? But you see, there's, I'm sorry, I digress there. But there's an aspect of likeness that has to do with appearance, right? But there's also an aspect of likeness that has to do with character. Right? And as we, as humanity, are very different from each other, right? We are different. Maybe it's not that God looks like us or that we look like God. Maybe it's that God created us with something of Him in us. Character. And there are aspects of God that are implanted in His creation of humanity. And I say His, but you know that I include hers, right? Because if He created God as man, I mean humanity as man and woman, well, there has to be some part of the female there. At least that's what my mom said. So if God is in the heavenly court, then there is an association with royalty, which was common in those days. But notice the task that is assigned to human beings when they're created. Dominion. Right? He tells them to multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion over the earth. And usually when we talk about dominion, our mind immediately goes to power, right? Power. If you have dominion, that means that you have power over. And guess what? When power is in the picture, oppression also appears, right? Because you are dominating the world. But I have another aspect of dominion that we need to consider. If royalty is something familiar with the Jewish and the Hebrew folks, and that is important in the ancient worldview, Then we need to consider what that means. And you know that at the time, a king had a responsibility for his kingdom, right? It was not all about domination. Are you with me? It was about responsibility. It was about relationship. All right, if you are in this kingdom, I have certain expectations for you, but I also have responsibilities. I will protect you. Hello, right? Because you're part of this kingdom. You're going to have the king's protection. You're going to have the king's care. So, caring is part of that word, of having dominion, having influence over. So you know what that means, right? That we all need to recycle. Is that it? And that we all need to use vehicles that don't combust any fuels. Sorry there, Brett. I mean, there's a little bit of that. But there's responsibility involved in this. Right? So when God says to humanity, you are to dominate the world, that can be interpreted in many ways. And so far, we see that it could be implied there that it's been interpreted irresponsibly. We are to care for the world. We are to care for the living creatures. But that would be simple if that was all. If that was all that it took, I tell you, tomorrow we would be doing it. Right? Tomorrow, we all would be recycling and using other types of... I mean, that I think that can be done. But caring, I think it's more than that. Caring is about responsibility. And God blessed the first couple and He commanded them to multiply. And I guess that God wanted to see Himself in more of us. But He gave us every part of creation so that we could enjoy. Not necessarily abuse it, but care for it. And there was a purpose in all that. Remember, I said in the beginning that it's important to us understand that God is not necessarily to be explained, but to be experienced, right? If the Spirit of God has been spilled in us, and if the character of God has been instilled in us, then that means that we are responsible to act accordingly. And maybe, when we act accordingly, we can experience God in each other. I wonder why God wanted to be in relationship with these human beings that He created. He wanted to love them. He wanted to know them, to relate. So I believe truly that it's not only about recycling. I think that God wants us to relate to each other in love. And when we come and fast forward to what Jesus Christ did, right? Guess what happened? Guess what happened? John 3:16 again says what? So God so what? Loved the world that he gave. So that everyone who would believe that everlasting life. So I would assume that it's more than just caring for this world, but caring for each other. And that's a big responsibility. Let's pray. Lord, in a world where survival of the fittest seems to be the mode of the day, you ask us to love each other. You ask us to care for each other. And in a world where we are so involved with the me, you ask us to look outside of me. That's a big challenge. And that's a big challenge for all of us, Lord. And we ask, God, that your Spirit may help us. We ask, God, that you may lead us to that understanding as we place our faith in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.